He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin of LakersDaily.com, joined by nobody as of quite yet. So this is what usually happens after big games. I will grab the link from StreamYard, and I'll just drop it into the lounge Slack that I set up. And I'll just say, like, if anybody is bored, who wants to hop in here? And that opened the door for this guy.
I'm not bored, Anthony. I'll tell you that much. I am locked in. Best game of the year. I don't care. The Lakers, I just yelled so loud it scared my cat. He was sleeping behind me, and I hadn't been talking this loud. He just sprinted out of the room like I lit a fire. I'm ready to go. Sasha, he's not ready for the enthusiasm of this show, but I hope the listeners are.
I just now saw your Slack message. Fuck it, I'm jumping on.
I'm disappointed you didn't have like the wrestling like smash. I think it was it Stone Cold that they did the smash glass for? Was it John Cena? Now I'm Raj. Wondering about.
I'm not a wrestling guy either. I think.
Yeah, I don't know. They had the glass. Yeah, and then like it's like, oh my god, here he comes. That was me coming into the Slack when.
You have actually as much hair as Stone Cold, so it actually really works.
Yeah,
similar body type, you know,
like Stone Cold Harrison Fagan. That's what they call me.
All right, so the Lakers win this one miraculously. They win. If I was to tell you, Harrison, that the Lakers would play the Milwaukee Bucks without LeBron James and without Anthony Davis's left arm to close the game, you would have said what?
I mean, I would have said, I think that you can count on being able to target the worst defensive guard or one of the worst defensive guards in the league, a guy who makes D'Angelo Russell look like those Derek White comps that he was trying to make early in the preseason. And, you know, if you just go right at that guy, that ultimate winner who just wins and is just clutch, you know, if you just go at him for like 21 points in the fourth quarter and just hunt him relentlessly, then I would say, you know, you got a pretty good path to winning there.
All I'm going to say, Harrison, is thank you for saying this after the game, because
I've been holding it all in for like 3 hours, and the game ended in an even more perfect way than I could have possibly hoped for.
Because the last
you have
time
a Doc Rivers team blowing a lead, you got Dame. Yeah, I think we need to call it shame time, because that's what it's been in the clutch for the Bucks this year. It's just been a real shame to watch
Lame
them
time.
Just go down in flames.
Yeah, yeah. Did he quote tweet you? Did when he beat the shit out of the Lakers after you said that Dame sucks, basically? he didn't quote tweet you, right? Like, you just went viral on your own. He didn't say
no. Yeah, that was our friend of the show, Matt Moore, decided to retweet that after the game. When I called him, I think Lou Williams with a public SoundCloud. You know what? I stand by it. He has as many rings as Lou Williams. I just, again, if you give Lou that opportunity, I don't know. I think maybe
probably gets the free throw line.
Lou Williams, overly loyal Lou Williams, you know.
Look, man, I think the Clippers wish Lou was a little more loyal so that he wouldn't.
Yeah, maybe.
Just a little more loyal from Lou Williams. But yeah, the Lakers win this one 123-122. I'm going to go through a couple tweets that I saw heading into the game sent by a complete fucking idiot. The first one that crossed my timeline that I feel like we should laugh at now was this one. Sent from at Anthony Irwin LA. Well, at least we all get to enjoy our Friday nights. Look,
you were right. I enjoyed the hell out of this Friday night, Anthony.
Not necessarily incorrect. The second one that also crossed my timeline, man, this guy had a hell of a night, was signing Spencer Dinwiddie a mistake.
This is what I always say about these YouTubers, Anthony. They're just clickbait artists. It's just unbelievable. You just ask these like inflammatory questions. It just goes out to the algorithm and, you know, frankly, promoting misinformation. And so I think, you know, again, it's just YouTube has radicalized so many people to needlessly hate on Spencer Dinwiddie. And, you know, tonight you saw him get the clamps out and show all of them wrong. Although, again, you know, it's not, to be fair, it's not that hard to guard Dame this year. You know, when the refs aren't giving him whistles, like it's, you know, I mean, Spencer can do that.
That same YouTuber put together this YouTube thumbnail. Subtraction by addition.
Oh no. You know what? This is I will give you credit. You basically did what I did to Dame, you know, a couple years ago, but for Spencer Dinwiddie. And he just went out and had like the best game of his season. Did you see the Pat Bev dropped a full Tony Snell?
Did he really? No way.
Yeah, 16 minutes of cardio.
And a game worst minus 16 in this one.
Our friend Zane from the formerly of Silver Screen and Roll and SB Nation dropped a graphic with his box score and just said, belt to ass tour continues at Pat Bev Pod.
I need that to replace the Tony Snell. Like that.
You know what? I agree. You know, we need the Pat Bev 16 minutes to replace.
That's
it.
So much worse, I think, than the Tony Snell game. Maybe the difference would be the Tony Snell's came in a playoff game, but I think this one's worse. -16.
I'm pretty sure it was a regular season game. He played like 29 minutes. I don't think he was playing that in the playoffs.
Probably not on the team that was very good in the postseason. I want to play these plays back to back because they were just monster plays. We'll go through some kind of minutia of this game as we go along. But the first play here, I believe, is the Lakers are down 121 to 122 with about 23 and some change seconds left. I was actually FaceTiming with my parents at the time, and I was saying that like I actually would have preferred, or I was saying going into the play, I want them to take a quicker shot so that they can have an opportunity to take another one. Even if it's a three, I would like to like the Lakers to see what the Lakers can do there. And I actually think 5 seconds left is right because if you foul, then they go down, they shoot their free throws, you have 5 seconds left to get a three off. To try to force overtime. This is how it actually played out, though.
On the switch, Lillard's got Russell with 12 seconds. Russell gets past Lillard with 7. Floater, good! Russell gives the Lakers a 1-point lead.
Who was
D'Angelo
that?
Russell.
Can you just remind me, who was that just sort of lightly shadowing D'Lo on the back, just offering him like words of encouragement as he
I thought it was really nice that Dame would like pat him on the butt, like as D'Lo's like, hey, great shot, bud. Like good.
Man, nice.
Great
hit. I'll get you back on the other end, though. I'm sure it's going to work out for him, you know?
D'Angelo Russell on the night. I think this is his best game as a Laker.
He tied a career high in threes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
He finishes with 44 points, 9 assists, 6 boards, a block, only 2 turnovers. Given how much time he spent on the ball, legitimately incredible. He goes.
Given that some of his passes were to a man with apparently one functioning arm during the fourth quarter. Yeah.
It's a one arm man. And then, D'Angelo Russell, 17 of 25 from the field, 9 of 12. From 3-point range. Yeah, I don't think this is even arguable. This is his best game as a Laker. And it couldn't have come at a better time. This was incredible.
Was LeBron holding him back? I think these are questions that we have to ask, you know, is it time for that old man to cede some, you know, like some more usage to D'Lo?
This is where I wish like you or I could get to ask some of these questions here, because that would be such an incredible question. Like, this is where True needs to like, this is where True needs to step up.
That's what, yeah, I think when Mike's ready to retire, he may fire one of those off. You know, it's like,
is LeBron James holding you back? Like, and do it specifically in LeBron James earshot too. I gotta say though, you know, no LeBron in this one. I do think it's a good matchup for D'Lo because they don't have very aggressive perimeter defenders on their team.
Let's be real. Anyone being guarded by Dame, it's a good matchup for them.
It is. It is. I know. That's what I'm saying. Is that like,
it's incredible how the Bucks, you know, made this all-in move and then all of a sudden are worse this year and apparently have like completely fallen apart defensively by gaining like known winner and just all about winning guy Damian Lillard. It's crazy.
I think Damian's quote heading into the season was that he was hoping to be league average defensively. Hoping.
Mission not accomplished so far, but there's still time, I would say.
But yeah, I just want to, you know, D'Angelo Russell plays this incredible game, and it was big shot after big shot, especially down the stretch where, you know, the Lakers were barely even using AD in screens. It, like, he set a screen at one point, and I think somebody made contact with the left side of his body, and he, like, completely winced. And then from that point on, they just basically put him in the dunker spot and had Rui set all of the screens from that point there, from that point forward. And so basically Milwaukee, you know, could have completely blitzed D'Lo. They could have done any number of things. The good thing Doc is their coach for the Lakers here, but they could have done any number of things there to get D'Lo out of his rhythm. They don't really make any adjustments over the, even when you take, you know, you swap out one of the best rim threats in pick and roll in Anthony Davis for Rui, who is not normally in that spot. Also credit to Rui for setting like actual hard screens there too. Kind of recognizing the moment. And then, you know, D'Lo still had to do a lot of creating of his own, even after the screen. And he was making right decision after right decision after right decision. And this was just, you know, this is the high point of the roller coaster, right? This is yeah. You know, the beginning of is it Ghost Rider at Knott's Berry Farm, right? The wooden
this
coaster.
This is gonna shock you, but I get nervous on roller coasters, and so I wouldn't know.
Have you ever been on a roller coaster?
No. Yeah, I've been on them. There's just I know my limits. You know, like there's certain, you know, Knott's Berry Farm. I'm like
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Like, yeah, that's as far as it goes.
No, that one's a little dark.
But like the you know, any good roller coaster though, basically, or most good roller coasters start with the ascent, right? And it's like, you know, you're on there.
No, Raj, I'm familiar with the concept.
I love the bit. I love explaining these things, and this was the top of the mountain. Like, this is the mountaintop for D'Lo, right? This is the best game that you were going to get from him. He was engaged defensively. He was incredible offensively. He carried you to a win that you would not have otherwise expected you were going to get. Yeah, he was freaking everywhere. And every time he had the ball late, or every time he didn't have the ball late, I felt myself like saying, get the ball to D'Lo.
The broadcast was saying it. Every single time they ran a play for anyone but D'Lo, Stu would be like, he's like, I just don't understand why they're going away from what worked. And I'm like, you know what, Stu, I'm with you.
It's a point well made. People are asking me to change my stance on whether or not the Lakers should have traded him. I think that's a completely different point altogether.
Do you think the coaches had to stop Darvin from benching him down the stretch?
How hilarious.
Restraining Cam and holding him to the bench, like to keep him from
coming. We're going to talk about Darvin and I'm going to give him his flowers or whatever. But like, I did half expect, given the way that the Lakers were coached down the stretch of that game, I did half expect to see Darvin like cartoonishly like tied up with his like, that was a completely different team that we saw there down the stretch of that game. And I know some people are going to say, like, you know, well, no LeBron means that they ran offense down the stretch of the game. I still would prefer to have LeBron James on my basketball team. Maybe I'm crazy. But yeah, I thought basically this is a bonus episode and I want to just enjoy this win. That's why the third topic here is just enjoy this. This was so much fun I felt like a proud dad having watched D'Angelo Russell grow up like in front of us, basically.
Well,
to have that kind of a game. That was incredible.
Do you remember the context of that game that I basically had to like log off of the internet for like a month afterwards because angry Dame fans in my mentions? Do you remember sort of like what happened to actually spark that run and what actually got Dame upset?
Did D'Lo talk shit?
It was D'Lo. And after the game, I went back and I pulled up these quotes from our friend of the show, Baxter Holmes, back in his Lakers beat writing days, because I was like, wait, am I remembering this right? And yep, it was. That was the poke the bear game. So that was he got mad at D'Angelo Russell. This is back in January 11th, 2017. As far as that situation, Lillard said, since last game, he's been doing slick little elbows and I play the game clean. I'm from Oakland. I ain't with that extra stuff. Nobody can just do what they want to me. He poked the bear and you've seen what happened the rest of the game, after the win. And so, I think D'Angelo Russell, look, he got mauled that night. But like the Revenant, he's like Leonardo DiCaprio. He came back and he's going to kill that bear and everyone else that wronged him.
It was great. I also loved, I think my favorite like small moment in the game was on that last basket. Cause I'm going to replay that play. Screw it. We're going to play it again.
On the switch, Lillard's got Russell with 12 seconds. Russell gets past Lillard with seven. Floater. Good. Russell gives the Lakers a 1-point lead.
So
I'm sorry. My favorite part of the game.
It's insane how bad Dame is defensively.
You were crediting Rui for his screens. And like, I understand what you're saying. And like, good job, Rui, stepping up. It's easier for your screens to look effective when the guy, you like sort of brush contact with him and he sort of just starts to hug you and follow you, Like it's a little...
It was a different play. It turns out, I think it was the play before this one, D'Lo made another floater. And on that one, that was actually an and one. That's what it was. D'Lo's yeah. And one that gave them the opportunity to have that game winning bucket. On that last offensive possession of the game, Dame steps up to take a charge and D'Lo walks towards Milwaukee's bench going, review it. Go ahead, Pat. Yeah. Review that shit.
That he thought that the foul was called on him and was actually calling for like a review immediately. He just instinctively thought it was going to be against him. But yeah, I think he actually was taunting them.
That was honestly the upset of the century that the refs made the right call on that play, because they had been garbage both ways leading up to that moment. And you had somehow Giannis was given possession of the ball despite traveling on the play that they reviewed.
What they're saying is that the whistle was blown before he traveled.
Before the travel.
I understand the principle of that rule. It just it looks bizarre when you play it out like that, but I understand why that's the rule.
It's the letter of the law thing that happens after a review, but it's it's very much not within kind of the,
It's not within the spirit of the game. Yeah. He was clearly so spooked by the ref's whistle that he traveled.
Let's go ahead and play the play that finished this one. And I would imagine I could only picture you in your room in your house when this play happened.
Definitely game time. And he's got it with five, with four.
Oh, it's definitely Dame time, Anthony. Definitely Dame time. Oh, I love this call. It definitely was.
It is definitely Dame time. He starts with
oh,
definitely Dame time. And he's got it with five, with four. Lillard on Dinwiddie. It's blocked by Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie wins the game for the Lakers.
Just
beautiful. I love that it's Billy saying it's definitely Dame time. Billy, come on, man. Like, it's one thing if it's the ESPN guy saying that, but it's what is going on? Shouts to Billy for being wrong, but that is...
No. He just said it's the time that Dame says he comes through, you know?
I got you. That time. Yeah. Put me in your room when that happened. Like, was it just maniacal cackling?
Yeah, it was mostly just laughing. And, you know, I just by myself alone in my living room, just laughing at the play. And it was basically the same thing on the play before. Like, it's just I just sort of disbelief that they were able to, like, pull this game out without LeBron and, you know, get it done. And that D'Lo got that red hot, you know, to just give them a chance. Like, it really did seem for a minute there like the Bucks were going to sort of pull away. They got it to like 8 or so with, I think, like 4 minutes left. And it just looked like, OK, yeah, this is going to be like one of these ones where it's like there's no moral victories in the season. But like they played them tough. They're going to play them tough to the end, but they just probably don't have enough to like get it over the finish line tonight. But they did. It turned out because it turns out it helps if the team, you know, that was a contender the last couple of years, like trades for a guy to fix their crunch time offense and then goes away from Giannis in crunch time and somehow gets worse at it. I did appreciate Lakers Twitter, longtime Lakers Twitter member Bernie Wong has dubbed the Spencer play at the end there the blockchain, which I'm all for.
That's good. That's very good. It is insane to me that the Bucks don't run a Dame and Giannis pick and roll every play down the stretch of these games. Like, I don't know if they're saving it for the playoffs. I don't know what is going on there, but like that should be the
easiest obviously, like pick teams roll. Getting tape on that is going to allow them to stop it. You know,
it's yeah. I just don't understand it.
I think Giannis doesn't want to be seen as just the screen guy.
I mean, yeah, I think
that's the only logical conclusion.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that like and. It wouldn't surprise me if Peter Bukowski somehow wound up in my mentions for this segment, right? Every time I say anything about Giannis, I get him standing in my mentions. But it's insane. Like it's you. The reason you hire Doc is to get Giannis to do that, right? Like the reason the reason you fire Bud in the first place is because Giannis asked for you to fire Bud. And then the reason you hire Adrian Griffin and like after that is because Giannis asks for you to hire Adrian Griffin. And then you fire Adrian Griffin and you bring in Doc Rivers, somebody who you would think has kind of the cachet in the locker room to be able to tell Giannis you would make our team better.
And you don't fire Nick Nurse because Giannis doesn't want to play for him.
There's also that. You do all of these things, you know.
Make the game trade.
Yeah, I would hope that like the give and take there would be like also for Giannis to set the occasional screen down the stretch of the games because like ISO ball with Dame was fine 5 years ago, right? ISO ball with Dame and those step back three pointers and step back whatevers when he could still just get by guys on his own, that was fine a few years ago. But now he's clearly not that type of player anymore. And they aren't doing anything to make up for the fact that Dame isn't that kind of a player anymore. And on top of that, he's even worse defensively than he ever was when he was at that like peak offensively. So you're like, you're basically, because of Giannis's own preferences here, making Dame the worst version possible that he could possibly be. So shouts to you, Giannis.
MVP, buddy. I finally won. All my takes are looking great. I think. Thank you, Giannis.
Betting on Father Time?
What is Giannis's sort of demeaning GM name? Is it like, you know, like Le GM? Like, is it Ya GM? Is it Giannis GM Akumpo? Like
GMS? GMS?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, GMS.
Yeah. And GMS Antetokounmpo. GM is Antetokounmpo.
Is he the GM that people think LeBron is? I don't know. I'm just asking these questions.
I think it's a good question. We do have a super comment, so let's go ahead and jump into that one here. This comes from Justin Tindall. Shouts to Justin Tindall. That means I get to play this.
Whoa! stop watching.
I love playing that like on the night that the Lakers win against Milwaukee. Yeah. It's like the Lakers pick up a huge win against the Milwaukee Bucks. My response.
Stop watching.
Justin Tindall.
Well,
writes,
honestly, you know what? The Bucks deserve it for making apparently the Celtics possibly unstoppable. By
giving them Drew Holiday.
I mean, allowing Drew Holiday to be given away to them.
Yeah.
For the fact of it may have ended up making them, not only did it end up potentially making them worse and they gave up a bunch of picks, but also, you know, it made their rival, it gave them like a sixth all NBA almost level player worse than the Russ trade.
Oh.
We can revisit it down the line. You know, I'm just asking these questions. I think we got to ask these. You know,
one of the bullet points in that box is to enjoy this. And you drop that comment, you drop that little morsel from Justin Sorry. Tindall. He writes, before tonight, wanted D'Lo extended 17 and seven over. Oh, I guess on the year.
I thought he meant. Yeah, I thought that I also read that as he wanted the extension to be 17 years for 7 million. And I'm like,
or 7 million at 17 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
over 40% from three on high volume, would like him to be a 28 to 32 six man like Lou Williams / Jamal Crawford. He's the best shooter easily in the Bron / 80 era. So I was watching this one. Like I said, Jen fell asleep early. So I was basically on my own watching this one on the back patio, and I FaceTime my folks. My dad is like the biggest Lakers fan that I know. And like, he's the reason you guys have to put up with me the way that you guys have to, is because he like raised me on Magic Johnson highlights and Byron Scott highlights and James Worthy and Kareem and on through on the rest of my life. And so I was asking him while this game was going on, I was like, I think D'Lo is the best shooter in Lakers history. Like, I think that we can say that.
I mean, he may end up at the top of the leaderboards when it's all said and done.
He's
high up there.
I think he has a chance at breaking the Lakers 3-point record this year, all-time 3-point record this year. And he is shooting 40% from 3-point range in terms of like the volume that he's hitting at. Nobody in Lakers history shot at volume in this way. So at the very, very least, he is having the best shooting season in Lakers history. But I think when you kind of go from...
Yeah, I was actually wrong. He's definitely not going to become the Lakers leader in three-point field goals. I forgot Kobe has like 1,000 more than the second.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because, yeah, I mean, he just played for 20 years for the... So, yeah, never mind.
For the same team. Never mind. But like, I do think, though, that like, you know, I do think this will... He can... break, if not, I think he's going to break the Lakers single season 3-point record. I think that is going to happen.
That seems very possible. Yeah.
And he's going to do so at a 40% clip or right around there somewhere. And that sounds like the best shooter in Lakers history, best 3-point shooter in Lakers history. It was incredible. And like, look, the nickname that I have kind of given him over the course of the year is like 15-point D'Lo. The best D'Lo that you're going to get is D'Lo when he's up 15 points. And he has kind of said that he plays his best when he just says, fuck it, and I'm going to go play. And I thought tonight was a great fuck it game. And I thought it was a great, like, it was, I can't stop ranting and raving about the game that D'Lo just played tonight. That was incredible.
So I don't know if Basketball Reference is updated from tonight. So he actually may be even closer than this, but I'm looking at their 3-point field goals record for a season. The current, you want to guess who has the record for most in a season?
I mean, Kobe or Fisher?
No, it's actually your guy, Nick the Quick, Nick Van Exel, 183. Oh. Yeah, Kobe's second. He had a 180 season in 05-06 when he was just... I mean, that actually makes sense because that was the only year when he realistically could have equaled the three-point volume today just because there was no one else on the team.
Right.
So he was getting them up. But he also has a three-point field goals attempt record from that season, 518. But D'Lo was at 162 either as of right now or going into tonight. So he is very close to that 183 already, and very I think almost assuredly will set that record by the end of the year, barring like an injury or a huge slump.
Yeah, he's had a honestly tremendous year. I think he's actually outplayed his contract, and I think it's reached the point here where I think in this upcoming offseason, the Lakers are going to have to make a choice between him and Austin, because I don't think that that backcourt is feasible moving forward defensively. But either that, or you got to go
like an all defense wing.
Yeah. Like that's what's like, you got to go out and get like Mikal Bridges. You got to go out and get like, you know, Jaden McDaniels, which you're not going to get him, but like that kind of a player.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, maybe you're able to get, I'm not going to lie, that I would rather go out and get, if it costs me every asset that I have that isn't bolted down, and then occasionally having to like uproot some of those bolts, to go out and get a Donovan Mitchell or a Trae Young, I think I would rather do whatever I have to do to get Mikal Bridges. He would fit so perfect on this team.
I just don't know that you can get him for two picks, you know?
Well, they have three. They would have three potential.
They have three tradable this summer? I thought they have three available, but I don't know that they can trade all three of them.
On draft night, they can trade.
Oh, on draft night. Okay. All right.
Because you're drafting a player. You're promising a pick in the outline of the move, and then you draft the player for that team, and then that you know.
Yeah.
But I think that Mikal would be so much fun. But that's kind of like, you know, it's a Friday night. It's not a night that I normally record, and it's hilarious that on a night that I wouldn't normally record, I'm about to do this, but I think Darvin deserves his flowers for this game. I really think he does. I think the stuff that the Lakers were running down the stretch was actually really clean. Some of the sets that they were running were especially given the state of Anthony Davis's shoulder, and, you know, knock on wood that we get some good news on that. It looked like it was just a bruise, but we have also seen some bruises derail.
Maybe a stinger. You know, like something where like he just had like a dead arm.
Because like if you watched it, and by the way, I can't believe that wasn't considered an offensive foul or that it wasn't challenged. I thought that was a spot that Darvin could have challenged.
Oh, there you go. You found something to criticize him for. We're back, baby.
Yeah, sorry. But I guess without even getting to whether or not Darvin should have challenged it, but it looked pretty clear to me live that Giannis led with his shoulder. It looked like, I mean, AD was sliding, but it doesn't matter if you're sliding if you get hit in the middle of the chest. So I thought that was a bad, block call there. Giannis missed a free throw, so the ball agrees. but obviously Giannis kind of sticks his elbow right into like this spot, which, you know, you have a lot of nerve and a lot of connective tissue right in here. And, AD was kind of messing with that shoulder the rest of the game, running up and down the court, only kind of running with his right arm this way, right? Yeah. And his left arm was kind of dangling there the rest of the game. And yet still the Lakers were finding a way to get good look after good look after good look. And yeah, everything that you said about Dame is applicable here. And yeah, they're also playing Malik Beasley, and he somehow is the better of their two guys in the backcourt.
He was supposed to be their defensive stopper to start.
He was taking the other team's best perimeter player night in, night out, all that stuff. But you do still have Giannis, who is an all-world defender. You do still have Brooke, who like clogs up the paint.
His block of Rui, Giannis's, was incredible. Just meeting him at the top. Yeah.
Standing still.
Rui for trying it. Maybe not the wisest judgment with Giannis and Brooke down there, but
I don't think he thought Giannis was going to be there. Like I think, because he even took off kind of like lackadaisically, and then he was like, "Oh my god, where?
Oh no,
where did this hand come from?" Yeah. So I thought though that like the stuff that the Lakers were running was really clean. I didn't like starting Spencer. I'm not going to lie. But it worked out. Spencer played a good game. In this one, he finishes, his counting stats aren't great. He plays 34 minutes, but he gets the biggest play, the biggest defensive play of the game. And I think kind of quietly, he's kind of like picked back up some defensive habits that he didn't have to flex while he was in Brooklyn. So that has kind of helped while
pick up defensive habits by entering a sort of better situation and, you know, an area that, you know, is more conducive to where there's supposed to be more winning being done.
When there's expectations.
You can do that. You can try harder and lock in.
Yeah, it turns out. Well,
somebody might want to tell Dame. I don't know.
I was going to say some people can't. Harrison, I don't think Dame can physically.
I mean, probably not. But
he's already a small guard. He's like 6 foot. You know, I've seen him in Vegas. He's shorter than you are, you know, and, you know, I'm 5'10". You're what? 6'2"?
6'4".
6'4". Yeah. So you tower over Dame. And so like, you know, I
could have gotten that block tonight. You know,
that I would pay to see. But
put me out there, Darvin. I'm ready to go.
But like, I'm not gonna go so far as to ask, like, is this Darvin turning a corner or anything like that? I know better. The point of the show is just to enjoy it. But Darvin coached a really good game tonight. And I think, you know, given how hard I have been on him in my analysis, and I've somehow been even harder on him in my reporting. Somebody called me, Harrison. I don't know if you watched the show today. But somebody said that I have been too subdued in my criticism of Darvin Ham this year.
Trust me, if you guys had to talk to Anthony on a nearly daily basis, you would not believe this.
But I think Darvin coached a very good game tonight. We got Hayes and AD minutes at some point tonight. You had the
I don't often encourage this behavior, but it does appear that bullying works. I'm just
I think so. I mean, you had the Lakers go big. You had, you know, down the stretch in the last two possessions where the Lakers absolutely desperately needed stops, right? D'Lo and Austin sub out, Cam and Hayes come in, and like the Lakers were huge on those last two possessions, right? You had Spencer at the point, you had Cam at the two, ostensibly. And then you had, who was the three? Oh, Rui was at the three. AD was at the four. Hayes was at the five. And they, you know, they did a bunch of switching and, you know, Milwaukee just looked completely uncomfortable out there. And they got those last two stops that you desperately needed to get. And on the other end of it, with no LeBron and with Anthony Davis clearly limited, the Lakers were able to generate good looks through offensive strategy and execution. This was like I've talked all year about like the different amalgamations of this team and iterations of this team and how different they are night by night and all of this thing. This is a completely different way that the Lakers won this game tonight. Winning by executing down the stretch on both ends of the court is not something that we have seen from this team. I know that their clutch numbers are good and all that stuff, and that's like a lot of that is just LeBron. But if you would have told me heading into this one, you are down by 8 points with 3 minutes to go, that game is over. And they were able to find a way to win.
Yeah, you do have to, I agree with everything you said there. And I do think that, you know, hey, I think Lakers fans have blamed Darvin for things at times that I don't even know that you can necessarily blame a coach for, just out of habit, for how many things he has gotten wrong and, you know, like deserved very justified criticism. But, you know, you do have to give him a little bit of credit tonight. Or you can ask yourself, coincidence that tonight was Raj's first game there this year, sitting right across from the bench?
You have him there doing like sign language.
Do you think he was like yelling out adjustments and they were like, oh, good idea. I don't like, oh, that Darvin, there's a kid in a Clippers jersey across from the bench that's just screaming, you got to play big. He just seems really determined. Maybe we should try it.
You're going to wake up tomorrow with Raj just adding you out of nowhere with a bunch of question marks.
Hey, Anthony, I promise you there's no chance Raj is watching this show tonight.
I disagree. Anyway. I disagree. No, I disagree. He's going to want to see me be positive about this.
No, game. He's like, going to want to rewatch that game. He's not.
Oh, no, he's going to do that with this on in the background.
Like, okay. All right. We can make a bet on it, but I don't think there's any chance. Somebody maybe will send him the clip, but there's no chance Raj is watching the whole show to this point. I promise you.
What's the bet? What are we betting? A single tweet from each other's account.
No, God, no, I'm not doing that again. I've gone past
why D'Angelo Russell blocked me.
Yeah, no, I can't. Yeah, well, all right. It's not why Spencer Dinwiddie blocked you though. So, you know, that was
My last point though, and it's like a macro, almost like kind of existential point, is that like I don't think that this team has it in them to win a championship. I don't see it.
What a dour note to end the show on, though.
But this is my point, okay. This is my point, is that like I think that like that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy moments like this. This was an incredible moment. Like this like came
Anthony,
out of
the Lakers
nowhere.
Could be a lottery team, and I would be enjoying this moment.
Yeah, but that's my point, though, is that like. You know, because somebody asked me, you know, I'd have to pull up like the actual, you know, wording of the question, right? How?
Yeah.
I think the verbiage was like on a scale of 1 to 10. How close are you to just saying F this team from here on out? Right. 10 being I've already said that. 1 being like I still believe this team is still going to win a championship, right? And like to me, this is one of those nights that like. You throw away the championship aspirations. You throw away all the other nonsense for the rest of this year. You just live with how fun that win was. And I think we're going to get, I would imagine, because the schedule is tough and because the Lakers are still capable, like LeBron has said this season, right? The Lakers are capable of beating anybody on any given night. They are also capable of getting their asses kicked by anybody any given night. And this is one of those wins, and this is one of those nights that like you just my advice to people would be for the rest of the season, just sit back, let the season play out however it's going to play, and enjoy the shit out of like nights like this. And I know it's going to be tough on nights that aren't like this, and I know it's going to be tough when the Lakers lose randomly to like Atlanta. You know,
I was going to say we should be so glad that that game is in 10 days and not the next one, because if it was the next game, they would definitely lose it.
Absolutely.
100%, by like 30, you know,
without Trae Young, too.
Yeah.
No, DeJounte without Trae Young and with LeBron
coming
points.
Back and AD playing hurt. You know,
yeah, like, no, DeJounte Murray would score 67 points specifically on Austin Reeves. And like, we'd hate every minute.
They got
of it.
10 days to like come down from the high of this before they have to play the Hawks and try to take them serious.
But like, the point that I'm making though, right? Like just, you know, just fan out for the rest of this year, because I, you know, like essentially my expectation, my bar is lowered for what I'm hoping for from this team. And essentially I'm just going to, as a fan, just kind of take it in, just like, you know, screw it. You know, obviously I'm going to continue to do my job and all that stuff. But my advice to anybody on how to watch the rest of the season is like nights like tonight, they are special. That's what is special about sports. That's why when people were asking me earlier this year, what is stopping you from checking out completely? It's not like it's nights like tonight. You have a finite limit of nights like tonight for the rest of your life. And like, this was really fun. And, you know, I would just say back off, you know, take away like the internet GM stuff. And I'm just as guilty and probably more guilty of that than anybody. Just back off and just enjoy this.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to die someday. I'm going to die someday. We're all going to die someday. And
might be tonight. Like, you know, I just said nice things about Darvin Ham, you know, that'd be how I go out.
Someone may assassinate you. It's, you know,
for saying nice things about
Darvin Ham. You know, look, like for all the talk, you know, of you know, the NBA is sort of like the schedule's too long and there's too many games and, you know, it's why it's not as successful as the NFL. Like, I think that all of those things can be true to a certain degree. But if you love basketball and you're a sicko like you and me and anyone who's watching or listening to this podcast at, you know, this point in the season at 10:40 a.m. local time on a Friday night or wherever you are around the world, or listening to that, spending your Saturday listening to this podcast.
Harrison, there are 1,400 people watching right now.
That's what I mean. For any of us, like, this is why we do it. You know, it's nights like tonight where, you know, you get to ride this high and like, yeah, it doesn't say, you know, you don't watch this game and you're like, oh, Lakers going to win the title or anything. But that isn't the only thing that matters. It is, at the end of the year, the only thing that matters and the standard that this franchise judges itself on. But on the way there, you can still try and have some fun. And nights like tonight are why you tune in for all 82, because you never know when you're going to get D'Angelo Russell dropping, you know, like 40 on someone whose winning shtick is overrated and overstated. And, you know, just one of the players that I've enjoyed least, you know, in the last many years.
Who would you rather have this season? D'Angelo Russell or Damian Lillard?
You should just cut the broadcast. That's where we end.
Have a great night, everybody. I'm tweeting that shit. It's going out.